and believe for a healing power and grace to touch his body and make it whole.
So right, say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Forgive me for my sins.
Forgive me for my sins.
I believe in my heart.
I believe in my heart.
That Jesus Christ.
That Jesus Christ.
Died for my sins. In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
I'm saved.
I'm saved.
That they got the fancy cars. I don't think that they got their best life now. So today we'll be going into James 3. James 3, 13 and 18. James 3, 13 and 18 says, "Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds and the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I pray that you speak to us, Lord God. I pray that you will reveal to us what true knowledge, true wisdom, true understanding is. I pray that you challenge us to be discerning. I pray that we may prove to be the ones who have wisdom and understanding. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen. So, going again. Here, we are talking about who is wise. The first thing James says in this passage, who is wise? Who is understanding? Just the beginning of this chapter, we talk about teachers, the challenge that they have. And one of the challenges that they have is to control the tongue. That challenge is crazy. It's so difficult. The teachers are expected so much. And here, when they talk about who is wise, who is understanding, it's describing who the teachers are. These teachers, whenever you hear a person back in the day, when they say wise, it always describes the teachers, the scribes, the leaders, the rabbis. And then when it's saying who is understanding, it means that these people have a special, it's their specialty. They know the ins and outs of the theology that they're talking about. They know exactly what every single thing means. Like, for me, I can say, I have a psychology degree. If I were to pursue it and get my master's, I can do different kinds of things. I can get my specialty in different kinds of psychology, whether it be clinical, whether it be research, whether it be just counseling. Those are the specialties that I would have. I would be wise as in I would be a teacher of psychology. I would know that subject. And I would know further whatever master's degree that I have. Now, if I'm just talking to teachers, there's only a few people that I'd be talking about. The people that have these titles. I'd only have probably like four or five people in this room that I'd be talking about when it comes to teachers. But then, what about you? Well, who are teachers? Who are experts? Who are expected to know God's word? Next. Parents, you are teachers. Whether you like it or not, you're teachers. Right here in Proverbs, it says, Proverbs 22:6, it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Parents are commanded to teach their children correct doctrine, correct living. Proverbs 13:24, it says, "He who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently." Parents are expected to teach discipline. If you love your children, you will discipline them. Well, what about the rest of us? I don't have a kid. I am a teacher, but I don't have a kid. So what about the rest of us? Well then, next, for all believers, we are all a teacher in one sense. Matthew 28:19-20 says, "Go therefore and make disciples." the Great Commission. We as believers are all expected to go out, all expected to make disciples, all expected to teach the gospel. So, we are all expected to be experts, teachers of the gospel. So, what do we do? What are we supposed to do? James 3:13b says, let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of him. The people that we just watched in that video, yeah, sure, they did such great things. But when I first saw that video, the only things that came up in my mind was arrogance, greed, selfish ambition. They were going to get theirs. They were going to have whatever they felt entitled to. That doesn't sound like good behavior. Well, what does? Ephesians 2:8-10 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. And here it is. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. This is something that we are created to do. It's in our nature. As believers, as Christians, this is what we're going to be doing anyway. We are called to do the work of God. Matthew 5 says, let your light so shine before men. We are to do good works. We are to show this good behavior, this gentleness of wisdom. That's what we are called to do. And we see in our world that is not overflowing. That is not the case. James 3:14 says, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. The people who just watched that video were saying, look, P. Diddy and Jay-Z are the only ones that should be riding around in their Ferrari and living in the big house. They were saying, look, I want success. I want that. I'm going to have whatever I want. And they were going on about all these things that just supported their prosperous, greedy life. Does this sound familiar at all? Back in the day, in Jesus' time, it wasn't so much different. Right in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has to attack it head on. The teachers of Jesus' day did exactly this. In Matthew 6:1-2, it says, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound the trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward in full. Look, it's just like the people in the video. It's just like those preachers. They wanted people to know. They wanted people to recognize. They were after the fame. They were after the glory. They wanted it all for themselves. So what would they do? They announced it to everybody. Look, I'm a preacher. Look, I have all these things. Look at all the people that I preach to. Look at all of the awards that I have. Look how big my church is. They received their reward in full. They got what they wanted. And it doesn't stop there. Next, in regards to praying. When you pray, we're not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. Verse 7, and when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. People will just pray out loud, look extra spiritual. They want men's approval. They want people to recognize them as spiritual. And in the eyes of the one who matters, God, it's all fake. He sees through them. Unfortunately, it continues. When it comes to fasting, whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. Oh, I'm fasting. Oh, I'm so hungry. Oh my gosh. I've been fasting for 2 hours. I'm so spiritual. Look at me. I'm praying for you. I'm fasting for you. They receive their reward in full. It is ridiculous. There's so many. This is an ongoing battle. There are teachers who say that they want to love the Lord, that they want to help people. And when you see how they act and how they do things, you know who they really want to help. That's number one. That's themselves. They want to serve themselves. They want to store up their treasures right here. They want their best life now. So what is this? What kind of thinking is this? Well, James 3:15-16 says, this wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. Look, I'm going to get what I deserve. I want this fancy car. I'm going to get this fancy car. I want the big house. I'm going to get it. No one's going to stop me. American dream. I'm going to get what I want. I'm going to live it up. What's the sad part? Is that they're trying to Christianize it. These pastors, they want it now. They're going to get all of these things that they want right now. And they put a label on it. They say, look, I'm supposed to be blessed here. Look, our father Abraham, he was rich beyond compare. He had the gold. He had the silver. He had the cattle. He's the father of our faith. If you saw the other video that they have on this, he was just going, he was like, look, Abraham, he's the father of our faith. He had gold. He had silver. He had cattle. I'm in the same faith. I should be getting the same thing, right? No. Not at all. The people that lived during this time did not see any of that. They didn't see gold. They saw pain. They didn't see riches. They lost families. They didn't have homes. Let alone a shack. They were on the run. And yet, James has to address this because it was chaotic. It was like every man for himself. Yeah, I know we're brothers, but I'm going to get mine. I'm going to have what I deserve. I have been hurting too much to deserve this crown. And here it says, that thinking, demonic, that kind of thinking will only lead to disorder. 1 Timothy 6:9-10 says, look, but those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. These teachers, these preachers, it glamorizes it. It tells you, look, this is good stuff. You should watch it. It comes out on October 9th. Make sure you guys are on in front of your TV to watch it. We know that the way they live, that desire that they have, will only lead to destruction. It will only lead to judgment. Well, we've heard so much about what this worldly wisdom is. We're here, and we're surrounded by it. I mean, it's hard not to get caught up in wanting these good things. In fact, it's not a bad thing all the time to want these good things. You want good things for your children, don't you? You want good things for yourself to support. But this is on the level of its own. This is clear greed. This is clear sin, men falling into the temptation. So what do? James 3:17-18 says, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. We should be seeking out this wisdom. Whom among you are wise and understanding? Who has this kind of wisdom? This is what we should be looking for. This is what we should be searching for, striving for, as teachers, as Christians, as people commanded to go out and make disciples. This is what it should look like. It's pure. It's peace. Gentle. All these things. Bottom line, what does it look like? It sounds like love to me. 1 Corinthians 13:47 says, look, love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. To me, after studying this, true wisdom looks like love. Who among you are wise? Who among you have understanding? Prove it to me. Love me. Love the people in your church. Love the people that you come across. You should be out there teaching the gospel, ultimately. Love those people. Love the lost. Show me that you are wise. I don't want to hear it. Show it to me. Gospel life, I challenge you. I challenge you to be wise. I challenge you to have understanding. are called to be teachers no matter what. You're a parent, you gotta teach your children. You're a believer, you gotta make disciples. So I challenge you, grow in your faith. Show men, don't say that you're wise. Show men your wisdom through loving them. I challenge you to seek out godly wisdom. I challenge you to be men and women of understanding. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I just praise you and I thank you. And I just thank you for your example. You alone are wise. And you have blessed us with your gospel. I pray that as we are teachers of your gospel to the lost, pray that we may be experts. Not just in knowledge, not just in doctrine, but in character, in love. I pray that you would use us in a mighty way. I pray that we seek out your wisdom and not the world's. I pray that we may not be selfish, but selfless, as you were as when you died on that cross. Lord, I pray that this church, Gospel Light, may be a wise church, a loving church, a church of understanding. And I pray that when people come through these doors, I pray that we may love them and show them that we are there. Lord God, I just thank you for all these things. And I thank you for your people. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.